probably has enough to talk about, because I only have one thing to talk about. Well, my thing is commercials. So I've been watching a bunch of videos on The Escapist lately, and they've been putting, like, these really stupid fucking commercials in front of it, like, here's
something... Like the Pantene ads?
No, not Pantene. It's like, here's something for Swiffer, and here's something for Olay, and then here's something for... I think the other one I want to talk about was... I can't remember what it is. But it's just... It's so fucking stupid. Like, there's the one Swiffer commercial where, like, the lady is, like, cleaning her bathroom, and is like, oh, I'm done. And she looks over, she's like a gift bag. She's like a gift basket full of her... That has, like, some shit in it that she didn't... That she could use, like, bathing salts and stuff. It's like, I'm going to use these. But then she leaves the bathroom door open. She strips down naked, covers her face in that green shit, puts on the gloves, which are used for something.
Masturbation, probably.
Yeah, it's like gloves in conjunction with the vibrating sprayer head nozzle thing. Yeah, but then she strips naked, puts on the house coat, and then her kids walk in. And she isn't thinking, like, oh dear God, my kids just about to see me get into the bathroom and start masturbating. Like, oh, hey, kids, how's it going? It's like, come on, it's mom. And the kids are understandably terrified.
Yep.
It is just the weirdest fucking thing.
So wait, is this an anything cast or a...
Anything.
Cool.
Yeah, we do anything every other Sunday.
Okay.
And then post them every other Monday.
Yeah, I...
In fact, we're recording right now.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. Glory to the Anything Cast. I just hit record at the very beginning of the call as soon as someone picks up, and then I just cut in whenever I want to.
Yep. Well, I figured that's how it went. That's how it usually goes.
Yeah, but oh dear Lord. So yeah, another kind of stupid commercial. The Olay one. Is that like the actress Thandi Newton who was in, I think, Mission Impossible 2? The British chick in that one? Yeah, so she's saying, like, well, I'm on set. I have, like, well, I'm on set. We use, like, 12 different other products to make you look whatever. And she says, and then she, like, walks off of that set, walks off of the behind-the-stage set onto her at-home set. And she just, like, has her bag full of makeup shit. It's like, I challenge all that with Olay. And then pulls out one little thing of, like, some Olay, like, I don't even fucking know what it is. Like, I think it's Olay Regenerist. Yeah. And I noticed two things with this. A, you're a famous person, well, relatively famous person, who probably has a relatively high amount of money. Why are you buying Olay? And, yeah, and, well, okay, three things, actually. Two... Since you are probably a relatively famous person, you probably have someone to do your makeup for you at most times, because that's what I believe famous people do. They just, like, hire people to do stuff for them. Like, I'm pretty sure that, if I was famous, at least, I'd have someone to, like, if I was famous and rich, I'd have someone to, you know, mow my lawn and have someone to do all this shit. I would have someone to feed me. If I thought I could get away with it, I'd probably pay someone to review games for me. But yeah, so... She's doing the makeup by herself in her at-home set. And the other thing is, in almost every single women's makeup commercial I've ever seen, they always try to challenge something. It's like right, so this, but challenge that with this. This thing you get at a drugstore for like $10 is going to be the exact, is going to give you equal, if not better results than thousands of dollars worth of awesome shit and science.
It's like women, female empowerment and stuff.
Okay. But how? How is saying, like, buy this? It's like, you know, you could be all like, you could be all rich and successful and powerful and have all this shit, but instead, buy this stuff to get your local pharmacy.
Just because you have lots of money doesn't mean you can't be frugal.
What?
Frugal, as in saving money.
Yeah, well...
It's a word.
Yeah, well, just because you're Fully. Like, you're rich. You should, like, by becoming rich, you are kind of justified in wasting all your money. So, like I said, if I was rich, I'd be paying people for fucking everything. You know, just making it rain every single day. Just wake up, hit a button, and just have a couple $1,000 worth of, like, 20s just pour down upon me while I stand there and listen to Kanye West's Power. It would just button, and then,
So, did you watch that video I sent you?
Yes, I did. And that got me kind of worried about that universe. Yeah, so Pudge sent me a video. It was a mashup of a Lil Wayne song with a song from the show Lazy Town. Yeah, so, but the weird thing about the universe to me is everyone's a puppet aside from three people. Two grown men, one of whom looks very, very French, and one girl who is, like, 12.
Or is at least supposed to be 12.
Yeah, at least supposed to be 12.
She's probably... The actual actress is probably... I don't know how old she would be. But
13.
She's probably not 12. They generally aren't.
Yeah, but... So, where are her parents through all this? Like, are her parents puppets? If puppets mate, can they give birth to humans? And if so, like, what about all the other puppets? Like, at some point she's gonna grow up. And unless puppets can fuck humans, she's gonna end up fucking either a guy who saves her all the time or a guy who tries to do something kid evil to her at all times. It's weird. It's really weird. I don't know why, but I keep noticing this shit, and it's scaring me. Yeah, it's like, it's either going to be really weird, like, felt sex, or it's going to be sleeping with someone who's known you since you were, like, I'm guessing a baby. Unless she was, like, literally birthed, unless she, like, came out as a 12-year-old. In which case she would never really age, and... Oh, God. What is wrong with that universe?
Well, it's fairly short. Maybe Toy Box should, you know, look into it.
Yeah, actually look at it and weigh on his thoughts on this really weird thing.
Send me the link.
I don't know if I'm just fucked up or if other people actually notice this.
I think that's it.
Like, I realize that I am well above the target age for this show, and so I might be reading too much into it.
But then you take the target age for the song that they used, average it.
It is so fucking...
Yeah, I remember seeing this years ago. That is kind of creepy.
Like, and why is the lead character so French? Like, I think I saw the show once, and I'm pretty sure he spoke with, like, a French accent. But why do they feel the need to, like, all right, so here's this kid's show, and then it's like everything's like this. And like, the girls are like, hey, the puppets are all puppets, and the guy's all evil, and the good guy is French. Which isn't really a thing you see. Ever. It's either the lone solitary Frenchman who's like a badass gun for hire, usually works for the bad guys, usually played by Jean Reno, or they're French people. I know that's going to sound racist to some of you, but come on.
Now, I'm not going to profess to ever seeing the show, because I haven't at all.
It's not good.
Except in bits and pieces from the internet, and that's not generally a good impression of a TV show.
Good lord, no.
Especially not a children's show.
No, I was once, like, looking around some stuff, and I saw, like, that girl with pink hair, like, it was a gif of her fucking pedo bear.
Yes, there's that. But, back on...
Banner image!
But basically, there's... I was always under the... Is the French guy the guy in the blue?
Yes.
Because they're all color-coded. Yeah. I was under the impression that he was the evil one.
No, he's the good guy.
Just looking at the pictures, because he looks evil. Probably because of the mustache.
Yeah, I know, but he's the good guy. The bad guy wears black and yellow. And his mustache is remarkably thicker. I wonder if that's like any kind of... Yeah, something's wrong with me. God.
Well, the only way that the evil guy could have a more evil mustache is if he, like, twirled it. He had a goatee.
No, he didn't have a goatee, but he did have, like, the mustache that went and then curled up a bit at the tips.
Yeah, but the thin mustache like that? It's like, that is automatically evil.
Yeah, he's the generic European bad guy from any James Bond movie. Like, I could seriously, like, see him as like, well, pleasure to meet you, Mr. Bond. And then and turns out like a little tiny, like, Walther PPK. They really need to just make a video of him. Like, they need to give him the Jean Desjardins treatment of, all right, so you've made it big, now play a villain. I don't know why, but when you sent me that video, I was reading a bunch of cracked articles about like six horrifying things implied in X universe. Like, I've read one with the Harry Potter universe, and that one, yeah, they have some points.
Yep.
Yeah, the cracked articles, they say real about their accuracy. They're usually at least with their implication stuff. They are usually kind of on, like, if you think about it. Like, their after-hour stuff especially, like, they did, they released one kind of a little while ago with, like, I think it was, Why Mario Was a Douchebag. And they were surprisingly, like, thinking about it, he is just, to quote the video, he is a dick with a mustache. Good lord, it is...
Super Mario is really just the telling of a douchebag who's angry at his girlfriend who ran off for a turtle.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, did you know that in, like, when Mario first appeared in Donkey Kong, in the sequel to that Donkey Kong Jr., he's the bad guy?
Well, yeah. The, in the original Donkey Kong game, the storyline actually goes something like Donkey Kong's his pet.
Mm-hmm. Donkey Kong's his pet. He kidnaps his girlfriend Pauline, then he has to go after him to try to save him. So he launches Donkey Kong, but then Donkey Kong's kid in Donkey Kong Jr. comes back to try to free Donkey Kong from Mario.
Yeah.
Huh.
It is really weird.
Yeah, and if you actually read the source material for a lot of early Nintendo games, it gets really weird.
Yeah, like Birdo?
Like, Birdo's actually a man.
Birdo's a fucking hermaphrodite.
Yep. Birdo's a tranny.
Yeah. And in Super Mario, like, in Super Mario Sunshine, Bowser says that Peach is Bowser Jr.'s mom.
Yep.
And, like, how old is Bowser Jr. supposed to be in that thing? Because he is fucking huge. He's bigger than Peach. So, imagine this video, but imagine the birthing scene.
Yeah.
Like, her cake would have to be, like... Her fucking cake would be, like, huge. She wouldn't even be able to close her legs for, like, 7 months.
Oh, shoot. Give me a sec. I have a call on the other line.
Caller.
Oh, never mind.
Caller, you're on the air.
Never mind. He hung up.
Okay, well, that's all I got. You guys got anything to talk about? Otherwise, this could be a very, very short anything cast.
Yeah.
So nothing?
What is there to talk about? Ooh, you guys are going to love me the next anime podcast. The stuff I'm planning to suggest for you guys to watch, especially you, you're going to love my couple series that I tell you to do.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to do it.
It's okay. Good lord. Yeah, so my mom's internet won't work. Yeah. And she felt the need to come down here and knock repeatedly and then stick her hand in my door and start flicking on the lights. Because, yeah, but fuck.
Is she a teacher? Because that's how they normally get people's attention.
No, she isn't. She's a pharmacy. She's a pharmacy tech. Yeah. Okay, God, this is gonna be terrible.
So is everybody's. Well, in case people aren't aware, we're recording this on Easter Sunday.
Yes, we are. This is why we have the skeleton crew, because Shaq
showing how much our families love us.
Because I went and did my thing. Then I came back and I was gonna watch a show. But it turns out the new episode is not coming on for another 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and Shax just got back. I was gonna get him on, but he is drunk and has to work at 3 in the morning. And Bovi is currently at his parents' place, and they have no internet.
Yeah, nobody's parents has internet.
Mine do.
Well, you just said yours wasn't working.
No, theirs is...
Your mom's wasn't working.
Yes, and I live with my mom.
Is that just her computer, or...?
Yeah, just her computer.
Oh, okay. Like,
hers and her boyfriend's computer can only connect to the internet, but mine can't, because I'm awesome.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure you watch Castle Dead Man. Do you, Toybox?
No, I don't have cable. Nope.
It's on CBC.
And you have the internet.
Yeah, there's that, too.
That's true. I got the internet.
Yeah, so I do watch Castle, like, almost religiously.
Hmm. So, I assume you've been watching it recently.
Oh, yes, we talked about this on the movies podcast, and good lord.
Yeah, that is, I don't know, I am not sure about the direction they're taking this.
They're going to be, so here's what I'm thinking is going to happen. Like, end the upcoming episode, which is either just coming out next Monday... which just kind of sucks for me, because I really wanted to watch the episode tomorrow.
Is it next Monday?
Yeah, coming out the 16th.
Aw.
Yeah, so next episode, they're going to be having Adam Baldwin join up with the cast to play Detective Ethan Slaughter.
Yes.
Because seriously...
For those who don't know, Adam Baldwin is Jane.
Yes, from Firefly.
Yes.
And so they've already had a joke in there about Firefly and the Halloween special, which I thought was awesome. And now they're going to be having someone from Firefly come back, and now they're going to be—it's going to be yay!
But yeah, a bunch of in jokes.
Yeah. So what they're trying to going towards is, okay. So Castle figured out that Beckett knew all, like Beckett remembered all along that he told her that he was in love with her when she got shot. Because she said that, I don't remember anything that happened, but it turns out she did, and Castle found out about it. And so he just assumed that, instead of, you know, talking to her and saying, what the fuck, like, you know, a person.
Yeah, like, I'm terrible, like, he's supposed to be this confident guy and everything, and he sort of runs off in a huff.
Yeah. It's like, oh, she lied to me. I don't know why, but I'm just going to assume because she hates me. Oof, I'm going to go sleep with the stewardess.
Yeah. That's pretty much exactly what happens. It's like, and I'm... Well, I am... You know, me, mm-hmm. as in terrible with women in almost every way. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure in that situation even I would have confronted her about that.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. It just... Throughout, like, the first 3 seasons, everyone else was cock-blocking them. But yeah. Then, now it's getting to the point where they are cock-blocking themselves.
Yeah, this... I don't know. This fourth season is getting... The fourth season is getting to the point where something's gotta give. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to go either one way or the other, and... Mm-hmm. They've pretty much exhausted all efforts of, you know... Like, oh, whoops, we've just missed each other. Somebody's interrupted us again. Oh, no. Ah.
Mm. Yeah, but so now that they're leading down, at least for me what it seems is, they're going to start drifting apart, and then Beckett's going to confront Castle, they're going to do the confrontation of, she's going to say something completely not related to anything, and they're going to, like, just yell at each other for a couple of minutes until it eventually comes around to what they are supposed to be talking about.
Yeah.
As either going to say, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that, and then they just leave, or they're going to fuck. Which I really hope they do fuck, because good lord, they need to. Like,
well, it
like,
is.
Like, I understand with shows that they have to try to they try to stretch out the romantic tension between the two, sexual tension between the two main characters if they're the opposite sex as much as possible.
Yeah, but there is a logical limit to it, and it's getting ridiculous right now.
Yeah, like, I really hope they don't go down the Bones route of having 5 seasons of them just doing nothing and then, hey, I'm pregnant. Like, I feel like they should have gone with the Chuck route of this, because Chuck was actually kind of interesting because it had a relationship developing.
Yeah,
like with Chuck, as soon as they meet, boom, they start going out, and then hey, I'm in love with you, and then oh no, wait, we can't be together, but then oh, they're like, I love you too, but then we can't be together. It's like, oh hey, now we can, and then hey, we're getting married, and then hey, I lost my memory. That was the entire relationship arc of Chuck in cliff note form. But it made a certain amount of sense. Because, hey, we're spending all this time together, and oh, I really like you, and then, oh, I'm the charming, hey, I'm kind of handsome, but I'm also a nerd, and all. But also really charming, and then it eventually just blossoms into some kind of relationship that any nerd would really like, but no nerd will ever have. hey, I'm a nerd, I'm not that great social situation, but I have this really hot girlfriend. It's like, no. No. It is just... fuck. Yeah, we are really scraping the barrel here.
Well, it wouldn't seem that way if you don't keep mentioning it.
Oh, no, it will. Because, yes. With the amount of dead air we're going to be having on this thing. I can just imagine, looking at the... looking at, the sound wave of this in Audacity when I'm editing it, it'll just be a huge spike in talk for, half a second, and then another 5 seconds of just a straight line.
Well, you can edit that out.
No, I can't. I don't edit this shit. I just put music at the beginning, music at the end, go.
Yeah. I find I've been actually watching a lot of, Craig Ferguson, actually.
Mm-hmm.
As in the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson?
Yeah, I know who Craig Ferguson is.
And it's brilliant.
So.
Infinitely better than anything I've ever seen on a Late Night Show.
Better than Conan?
Yeah. Far and away.
Oh, wow.
I tried watching Conan again recently, and it's like, really? This is what it is? I remember this being better. But, I mean, you're aware of who Craig Ferguson is. He's a Scottish guy.
Yep.
Who is now an American citizen, which he brings up a lot with. Now he has a late night talk show.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, it starts on a Drew Carey show.
Yeah. That was back when he was still... had a drinking problem.
Well, of course, he's Scottish, he has to have a drinking problem.
Well, he's...
I mean, Natch.
And basically, he has his late night show with his natural Scottish charm, and his sidekick is a gay robot.
Okay.
Gay robot skeleton, as a matter of fact.
Wait, what?
Named Jeff.
So what, he just has a skeleton sitting off camera at all times?
He's very frequently on camera.
No, I mean, I'm talking about, the kind of Andy Richter style or, Kevin Eubanks thing of, he is shown on camera, but he is, you have to switch to an entirely different camera to be able to see him.
Yeah.
Or is he actually on main camera, on camera one with Craig all the time?
Not with him all the time, but I'm trying to... Okay, YouTube's going at full retard speed right now. At least for me. Yeah. But I'm trying to find a good, solid banter section with them.
Yes, you can send that to us. We can listen and we can watch it while recording live.
I know.
Live to tape. It'll be enthralling content.
I know. It's just to give... You can put the bloody links in the description.
I could. But that means I have to work.
Oh, man. And he has, honestly, some of the best interviews with celebrities that I've seen anybody have.
Yeah.
Like, he just... He literally talks to them. He doesn't just sort of ask questions about... It is completely unscripted.
Yeah. It's like, so how about this new movie coming out? Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, there's almost...
And then, yeah,
very
and then,
rarely any of that.
And then, yeah, and then in the middle of them just... Yeah, and then in the middle of describing it, he just scopes his hair to the side and does a wacky voice. And it's like, ah, yeah. And then the person's like, ah, yeah, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Try to talk about my goddamn movie, bitch. When did you go back to the year 3000?
Ha, funny enough, Jeff kind of sounds like that.
What?
And he at the very least used to have openings sort of like this, which I'm not quite showing anything right now, but...
Are you making like a pan gesture, or are you trying to send us a video?
I did sort of make a hand gesture towards my screen. At the time.
Oh, yeah, because that definitely plays in the podcast where none of us are in the same city.
Yeah. But this was, I think, last year's Halloween opening.
Yeah, so Pudge sent us a video, and we're going to watch it. It's called Craig Perks and Cold Open, a Rocky Horror Halloween.
Yeah. But basically... He doesn't so much do the musical ones anymore.
Hmm.
At least not recently, but you can go through YouTube and find a bunch of musical cold opens that he does with a big black guy and a small guy in leather.
Okay, so yeah, my YouTube for me is currently running at retard speed as well, so I can't watch it right now.
But trust me, he's hilarious. Everybody should watch his show.
I have no doubt he's hilarious. Like, I've seen a couple of his things, and he has been funny any time I've seen him. It's just, usually when the late shows are on, I'm either on the internet, or playing a video game, or on the internet while playing a video game, or asleep.
Yeah, so am I. That's why I have a guy on YouTube who uploads all the episodes, and I'm subscribed to him, so.
Yeah. Well,
I can
helps.
Be on the internet, and then he... And it pops up in my subscription box, and it's like, oh, a new Craig Perks episode. They're normally a couple of days late, to be completely honest, but that's okay.
Oh, speaking of subscription type stuff, I've been getting a lot of followers on Twitter lately, so something to talk about. I've been getting a lot of followers on Twitter lately, and they've all been soliciting.
Sex?
No, like... Like some guy that just like puts up to Twitter and is like, all right, so I'll follow you. And he sends me a message like, hey, thanks for following me. Check out this shit. Yeah, like this other guy sent me a thing like, hey, like, so here we got this new iThing. Got this new iPad app. Check it out. Be sure you can have me on Facebook here. And it's like, I don't own an i anything. And I got other people sending me shit like, hey, I want to advertise and go here. And it's like, but I'm not a film. I got like some thing. I think it was like TV films or something. Like some independent, some indie film thing that like helps promote indie films. It's like, hey, promote your indie film here. It's like, but I don't make indie films. I just make fun of them.
Yeah, you should like change your background on Twitter to like a big pasted image of a no solicitors sign.
But I like my thing coming for you. It's like, yeah, fuck, what was her name? I can't remember they're coming for you, Barbara. Yeah. Oh God,
Clarice.
No, it wasn't Clarice. It's like, hello, Clarice. Our lamb still screaming. Yes.
Yeah. Twitter needs to build some filtering or something because I'm having the same problems.
Yeah, like, I'm either getting a bunch of people saying like, hey, check out my shit, or people sending me, or people, like, following me who is, like, their usernames, like, their at thing is, you know, @Janet214, but then their name is, like, Bridget Wilson.
Yeah.
And then her link is to some blowjob site. It's like, blowjobsonly.com. It's like, wait, what?
It's yeah, where she works.
But she doesn't. Her pictures weren't... She wasn't any of the pictures on that site.
Yeah, because I'm trying to best represent our site as best we can, and I don't want to be associated with, like, porn sites and shit, you know? Fuck that.
You know, like, I do follow porn stars, as does Shax. But I guess because of that, we get these fucking spammer people who are just... Get these fucking, like, Fisher people who just show up and say, like, hey, come check out this thing, it's got none, nah.
Right.
Sex. It's like, hey, we got this over here, guys! But, you know, like, it's just so shit, because it's like, looking at my inbox, it's like, Twitter, you're now being followed by a spammer, you're now being followed by a spammer, you're now being followed by a spammer, and, like, one out of every 20 is a person who I actually actually think would be cool to be followed by. It's like, followed by spammer, followed by spammer, followed by some guy from Naughty Dog.
And every once in a while, one of those real people is a mistake.
Yeah. Either every once in a while, like, someone's following you. Then I go check out my followers and he's gone. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It is just, it's a sad, sad day when someone from an indie game company doesn't follow you because you're not the right person. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
And I don't have to deal with any of that because I'm not on Twitter. Twitter's the bane of civilization.
It's only a matter of time.
No, it's not.
It's slowly weeding out Facebook.
I don't care.
It's pretty soon you'll be like that one solitary guy who keeps using MySpace.
I actually still have a MySpace account, I think.
Lord, dude.
I have changed my profile picture. That is all I've ever done on it. I have a single friend. His Tom? Name is Tom.
Ah, yes, Tom. It's the first automatic friend you get anytime you sign up for a MySpace account.
Yep. What? No.
I have a friend
Tom
already.
He genuinely likes me.
He's like, hey, Tom, it's me. He's like, what the fuck are you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
I changed my profile picture to a picture of, if you're familiar with dinosaur comics, you'll find this hilarious. But
I'm not, so I probably won't.
It's a sticker with a T-Rex on it, with text over top of it saying, ladies, please, one at a time.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
And if you're not a fan of dinosaur comics, seriously, dinosaurcomics.com, read it. You will love it.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I was reading Dr. McNinja for a while.
You should read it again.
Yeah, I don't know where I dropped off, though.
Just pick a spot.
Yeah, but I like the canon. Like, I like following the Dr. McNinja canon.
What was the last thing you remember, clearly?
The last thing I remember is when the mayor, like, it was, like, after the arc where he had all the clones, and, like, the mayor shows up in a spacesuit, stops him, and it's, like, they get sent back to, like, 1967 or something.
They get sent forward in time?
No, it wasn't that. It was, like, no, wait, I remember now. It was, like, after the whole, like, unicorn motorcycle thing.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, that King Radical, man.
Yeah.
But, like, it was kind of just after that, I think.
Okay. So, you'd probably be looking at the infiltration of NASA.
Yeah, but Dr. McNinja is so insane. It's just the most insane fucking shit of, like, hey, we've got this guy, his name's Gordito, he's 10, he has a fucking mustache the size of most people's arms.
Which he grew by pure will.
Yes, and he rides around a raptor called Yoshi, and Dr. McGinja's secretary is a gorilla named Judy. You better not touch her fucking hot dogs.
You better not.
Yeah. And McGinja's, like, motto is WWBD. What would Batman do? Which, I'll give him that. That is a good motto to have.
Yep. It truly is.
Yeah.
Easily one of the best webcomics on the internet.
Yeah. It's like, ninjas can't touch you if you're on fire.
It is a rule.
Yeah. And I'd like to test that rule. Like, get Mythbusters on the phone. Check that shit out. It's like, alright, so we got 7 ninjas. Now we're going to light this one guy on fire. Like, in that situation, who do you think would be set on fire? Adam or Jamie? Or would they get one of the interns to do it?
Well, probably Adam. He's usually up for crazy things.
Yeah.
You should see the most recent episode of Mythbusters, actually. They're testing whether or not a fire extinguisher can... You know, somebody's shooting a flamethrower at you, whether a fire extinguisher will stop the flames.
Wow, dude, that is... I never actually watched... I think I've only ever watched, like, one episode of the Mythbusters show. It was, like, when they were trying to curve bullets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it might have been two, because there was that other one where, like, the interns were, like, right, so we got this car, it's driving 60 miles an hour, they're going to shoot a ball out of a cannon, also 60 miles an hour, and see what happens to the ball.
Yeah.
Where they just drive along, and then, boom, and then it just stops.
In testing the wanted myth, mm-hmm. They completely ignored that in the canon of the comics, mm-hmm. it's a genetic ability.
Yeah, and also in the canon.
Of course they're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, and also in the canon of the comics, only 2 guys can do it.
Yeah.
The killer and his son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like in the movie, is complete fucking... They just took like that one aspect of the comic and then just made everybody. Because in the comic, it's... kind of fucking awesome because it's like an entire clan of supervillains. And you know, like the killer ability, like the guy who can like the curve bullets and can like hit you with a sniper rifle from like with a musket sniper rifle from like 2,000 yards away. That's just one guy who can do that. There's also like you just got like the magic guy, then you got a guy entirely made out of shit.
Because it's a comic.
That's actually really cool.
With the musket thing,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to pack so much powder into that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And plus, you know, muskets are insanely inaccurate.
Oh yeah, I know better than most.
Mm-hmm. I don't doubt it.
It is. For those who don't know, I worked with muskets for like 3 years. From like 16 till I left for university, basically.
Yeah.
They are a great job. The pay was shit, but it was the most fun I've ever had while working. So, yeah, the effective range of a musket is like 500 feet. Much less the deadly range, maybe yards, which. Would be significantly longer, but...
Oh, yeah. Because that'd be 1,500 feet, right?
Yes.
Because a yard is 3 feet.
Mm-hmm. Riveting. A meter is 3.3.
Riveting content.
I know. People are learning conversions.
Yeah. People must be so glad they tuned into this episode. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Make you laugh, and we make you think.
Yeah, we make you think... Why do these guys do this?
Because we're bored and we have no lives.
When's Shaxx getting back?
Nah, fuck Shaxx.
Yeah. We can follow @fuckshaxx on Twitter.
Sure yeah. can.
Because that actually is... I'm actually kind of surprised that Twitter didn't say no.
Twitter doesn't care.
It's just the weirdest fucking thing, like... This just started as a joke. Like, first episode we did, I said, you know, hey, fuck Shaxx, and then he created Twitter, @fuckshaxx. I was like, okay, yeah, I guess.
I don't even think Twitter gets is moderated.
Probably not.
They just flip the switch and say, have fun.
Yeah, which is probably why you're getting all those spam bots.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Fuck. But we can report, I think we can report people on there. That's the only time they just like sit in there like, oh god, there's nothing to do. Also, reported someone, delete.
Right.
But still, I will always stand by my reasoning that Twitter is the bane of man.
It's only a matter of time.
Before civilization falls because of Twitter, yes.
No, it's only a matter of time before you get bit by one of the Horde and get indoctrinated into becoming one of us.
Okay, you were just mixing terminology.
Yes, I am.
From different games, and it's confusing our listeners.
Yeah, probably.
And making them probably think we support crazy theories about the Mass Effect 3 ending.
Are there stupid theories about the Mass Effect 3 ending?
Oh yeah.
Other than it's shit.
Oh yeah, people have thought up ways to explain it. It's gets pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I know this because I have nothing better to do with my time.
Then troll the Mass Effect forums looking for shit about their endings. Hey guys, the ending was really just having about it, and then just, oh my god!
Yeah, there's like whole things about Shepard being indoctrinated, and he was indoctrinated the whole time.
By who? Like indoctrinated,
pretty much as a cop out as
indoctrinated
dream.
It's like indoctrinated to what?
Just being indoctrinated.
But you need to be indoctrinated into something, don't you?
Into the same way everybody else gets indoctrinated into the by the Reapers.
But you're just saying like he was indoctrinated, and I completely forgot about the whole Reaper Saris thing.
Saren,
yeah. Well, yeah, that was the bad guy from the first game, right?
Yes. His name was Saren. Yeah. He was a Tyrion.
Yes, I remember that.
He was.
Yeah, but then Shepard fucked him up.
Yes. And then he became a spider thing that jumped on walls.
Yeah, some weird Tyrion husk thing.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't played the first game.
Yeah, which... that game was fucking busted.
It was okay. I mean, for the time, it was like, greatly improved in the second game.
Like, the story was great, but the tech in it was... It was busted. It was just so shit. The entire thing, like, frame rate, texture pop in, weird graphical shit, freezing on geometry, frame rate issues, the Mako.
Yeah.
God, the Mako.
Just like how they slowly just phased all vehicle sections out of the games.
Yeah. But they did.
The trilogy.
But they did add them back in Mass Effect 2 with, like, DLC.
Yeah, there was the. Hammerhead or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the Hammerhead. The Hammerhead, the Tau tank. What am I thinking? Warhammer. What?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm that kind of nerd.
Yeah. So we got the tabletop kind of nerd. I'm a card game kind of nerd.
Yeah.
So I'll play a mountain then cast fire demon. Yeah. Speaking of gaming things, so Geek and Sundry, it's a new channel from Felicia Day, who I have tried to find the contact at. I have tried to find the email address to contact her to see if we get her on the show.
Mm.
But so far, I have found nothing aside from like a press email address that like sends you to like the head of PR for Felicia Day Corp or something. Mm. Yeah, so I guess like so they actually. Have an episode of Tabletop Up, which is kind of cool. It's this show with Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
And he just kind of sits down with people and plays tabletop games with them. Like, so they actually sat down with one of the interns from Mythbusters, Grant. And they played Small World, which actually looks kind of insane and awesome, and I want to get it.
Yeah, I think it's an old game, too. It's been around.
Yeah, so like it's like 9 rounds. You have like a bunch of different territories on this map, and you can play it as a race, and they have like this ability thing attached to them, which I'm not sure if that's randomized or not. Like you just kind of pick the first race and the first thing out of the pile and just stick them together. But they have different abilities and stuff. And, like some of them, to capture like a non-occupied territory, you have to use like 2 of your units. But to capture one with a person or like a defender or like a terrain on them, you have to put down 3. But there's some you only have to put down 1 of this one. You're like, oh, you have to attack with 4, but you get like 5 additional points for each thing you control or some bullshit. And it looks really cool.
Yeah, it reminds me of Axis and Allies a little bit.
Yeah, I've never actually gotten into tabletop gaming, really. Like, I once played a round of Warhammer 40K.
And how'd that go?
I won, I think.
Who are you playing as?
The Space Marines.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty standard. Probably why you won.
Yeah, probably.
Horribly unbalanced.
But I think the other guy was playing as like Chaos Marines.
Well, yeah, they're pretty unbalanced too.
Mm-hmm. I actually kind of always wanted to get into tabletop gaming. I remember, the only other tabletop thing I played some Warhammer 40K. I also played one thing of Zombies. Yeah, it's a board game. I actually brought it up to Sudbury when I was living with Pudge, and I wanted to play it with somebody, but I never got around to it.
Yep. Never happened.
Yeah. But Zombies is actually kind of cool. It was like, you have a board layout. You start out with like a single tile, like with your survivors and stuff. They like roll the die and you move certain, maybe like X amount of spaces and stuff. And then you like draw zombie cards. Like, oh, you drew this thing and now you are a zombie. Or you drew this thing and like, oh, you gotta kill every zombie within like a 5 square radius around you. And it's actually kind of fun. Like, you gotta build the map as you go along, like pulling out random, tile cards, like placing them out as you go along. It was fun. But unfortunately, I cannot afford tabletop gaming.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy expensive. It's like $50 for a good board game now.
I don't have any friends to play it with.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I suppose I've got 4 brothers, 2 of which who play it, play both Warhammer 40K, D&D, and Gamma World, which is really fun, actually.
Yeah. Actually, this is one game I saw. Like, I went down to my quote-unquote local tabletop and card gaming retailer and for a Magic tournament, which I did horribly in. I was 1-3 at the end of it, at the end of 4 rounds. But yeah, so when I went in there, these guys were playing this game called Hero Clicks, where it was like, it's got these little figurines of like superheroes from comic books and stuff, and they each have like, they're each on those little turn things, so, and you like move around this like this square grid map, and like move to an area that like if it do damage for someone, you like click however many points of damage they do, and then that deals different status effects, like, alright, so you got hit for this much, but now your attack is this, and your thing is this, but then if you turn too much, you go into faint, and some of them have, like, healing factors and stuff, like Wolverine and Deadpool, they have healing factors. So at some point, like, an attack, like, oh, click down for 2, and then, oh, well, healing factor, click up for 3. And it is bizarre, and I want to play it.
Yeah, that actually sounds a lot like Mage Knights. I mean, just the models and the sort of damage. Mm-hmm. Counting system. It's very much the exact same thing, except it's not, licensed.
Yeah, like, I probably explained it horribly, and I'm guessing that one person's going to kind of consider writing me an email saying, fuck you.
But yeah, like, Gamma World is sort of a wacky version of Dungeons & Dragons, and so basically the basic setup for the universe is, there's potentially an infinite amount of parallel Earths where anything is possible. Mm-hmm. In some sort of great cataclysmic event, all of them became one.
Oh.
And shit just went all to hell.
So it's kind of like Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of thing.
Yeah, they all just become one, and basically the apocalypse happens because of it, because you have all these clashing laws of physics and things, and there's magic where magic isn't supposed to work, and, you know, and you pick up a character, like, the one game I've played, you basically roll your character, and it's a combination of two types, and I was... I forget exactly, it was a Hawkeye something. I forget exactly what the rest of it was. What the second one was. Mm. But basically, the combination I figured it turned out to be was a flying amoeba. Is what I interpreted that as. And you start off with a certain amount of ancient tech, which is, you know, basically useless stuff from what I would see normal in this world. I think I had an ice scraper and a subwoofer. Just as a start.
What, a subwoofer?
Yes.
See, like, you could just like vibrate enemies to death with sick bass drops?
I never actually used it, really. The ice scraper was my weapon. My main combat weapon.
So wait, is that like the thing you used as... Is it like you had a weaponized version of the thing you used to clean off your windshield in the middle of winter?
It wasn't weaponized at all. The scraper part of it, there's points on the edges of that. Wacky, wacky.
Yeah, but it's also made of plastic.
So? My strength was not combat, really.
I could eat that. My teeth are strong.
But yes, basically the character storyline that I made up briefly was that I ran a traveling soup kitchen out of the subwoofer.
Wait, so you lived in a subwoofer?
No, it was just like the stove and the thing I served the soup out of.
So you hollowed out your subwoofer and made it into a stove?
Pretty much, yeah.
What about all yours?
I think it was quickly abandoned when the actual adventure started in earnest, but, you know.
You can use a subwoofer to distract enemies while they steal their shit.
I didn't have a power source. I also had a canoe, actually.
that'd be great, because just you put this huge-ass subwoofer in a canoe, sinks.
Yeah. And, like, there were the other people in my team had various other things. There was, you know, basically you get two race types and you interpret that in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that however you like. And there's, like, I think it was seismic humanoid? Or something like that?
Yeah.
Which is basically, no, it's a seismic swarm is what it was. And there was... And whoever this was basically interpreted this as a small little modern army.
Mm-hmm.
Like miniature like a miniature sort of... They gave a specific army, like Napoleon's army or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In like miniature form, made of stone. And it was them running around. And their marching is what caused the vibrations on the earth. And it's just, you know, you're basically given free rein to interpret the information however the fuck you like.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Like, I think my brother was, like, an empath cat.
What?
He was a psychic cat, essentially. And he got that from, like, psychic felinoid.
Okay.
And, you know, he was a psychic cat who ran around with a frying pan as a helmet.
Oh.
And a weapon, actually. He used that he ran into people with the frying pan on his head.
Okay, I have to play this game.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome once you get into it. You literally just make up shit.
Just throw shit against, yeah, just throw shit against the wall and see what sticks.
As a given situation arises. Like, at the end of our game, my brother, who was DMing the match, actually, he sort of came and, like, this is one of the reasons why I love doing this with new players, because they just completely surprise you sometimes. Like, we were trying to break into a tower.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to get into this tower to investigate these robots. You don't need the whole story, really. It's unimportant, for the most part. But he basically, you know, we took care of all the guys outside the tower, and we're sort of exploring around, and we need to get inside. And there's this door. We don't know how much that, we don't know how much health the door has. So one of my friends who's there goes and says, "Hey, I've got this truck. Let's ram the door."
Because, yeah.
So turns out that the door had basically as much health as the truck had. And by the time we broke through, the truck was on fire.
Okay.
And it was awesome, because we basically had a flaming truck driving through the compound before we went in. And it went down the stairs and everything, and it was very amusing.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, Gamma World. Look it up. It's probably just as expensive as other tabletop games, but...
It's way more insane.
Yes, there's... In my mind, there's a lot more creative, artistic liberty, let's say, with whatever you can come up with.
Hmm. You guys want to call it?
Sure. Yeah, I got, for right now, I'm trying to cover PAX East, but there's not a lot of information coming out from that. Probably not until tomorrow, so.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's, like... When did PAX East start?
It started Friday. Okay. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Me and Shanks, we tried to get into the convention, but Friday was sold out quick. Saturday and Sunday, they had some tickets for Saturday, but that was going to be gone by the time we even ordered it. But Sunday was like the time that you could actually purchase the tickets. But by then, people are back up the booths by then. So
yeah, everything would just be gone.
Yeah. And that's what happened. It was around 7 o'clock at night. What is it? Yeah, Eastern time, 7 o'clock at night. Most of the big guys, the giant bomb joystick, everybody was leaving at that point. So.
Yeah, well, oh well.
But
we'll do our best. Yeah, we'll do our best vestigial coverage of PAX East as we can.
Right. And as far as the Star Trek online thing, I had to delay that. I didn't get no material or anything like that because I was so freaking busy. But
okay, yeah, no problem.
Everything that's happened. So,
yeah. Well, so yeah, I guess thanks for joining us for this amazing award-nominated content. We'll see you guys later this week, hopefully with some better podcasts. Bye.